we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to be the lead pastor around these parts. It is a beautiful day in Plano, Texas, and I'm excited to be preaching the Word of God to you today. Hello, as always, to our online watchers and listeners. We love you guys. You can lurk as long as you want, guys. That's what the internet does. They just lurk in the background. They listen. They watch. I would challenge you to give us a comment, give us a like. Don't just lurk. Let us know you're out there. We love to hear from you. We are in the fifth week and the final week of our sermon series. Somebody help me what the name of this sermon series is. The Lame Games We Play. We have talked about the shame game. We have talked about the blame game. We have talked about the name game. And we have talked about the same game. Today, in the final installment of this series, we're going to talk about the fame game. Somebody said fame game. Not yet. All right. All right, good. They're ready for it. The fame game. The fame game is a game where you define your value by having gained the attention of others. I'm going to say that again for you. The fame game is a game where you define your value. You win this game by having gained the attention of others. If you don't have the attention of others, you lose. If the others don't think nice things about you, you lose. You get it? Do you think our culture plays the fame game? Oh, absolutely they do. Do you think our society is constantly trying to gain the attention of others? That's all social media is. Yeah, people flip out when their Instagram picture from the front row of the Beyoncé concert doesn't get enough likes. If you knew how many times they took that one picture to get it look just right, and if you knew how much they spent on those tickets, and if you were depending on the validation of others like them, you would be upset too. Absolutely. You know how much front row tickets for Beyoncé go? It's thousands. Don't care is also an appropriate answer. All right. We will trade being a good person for someone saying we are a good person. Think about that for a second. Being a good person isn't as important as that person says I'm a good person. Think about that for a moment. Somehow more value is placed on the attention of others than the actual content of our character. Everyone said content of our character. We're going to be coming back to that over and over today. This is the fame game where we spend more energy on gaining attention than on growing as a person. But is the name on the cover more important than the content within? In 1982, there was a sci-fi film that came out that was world-changing. Can anyone guess what it was? E.T. Y'all are like in the gifts of the Spirit right now. How did you know it was E.T.? Right? And in its time, it was the highest grossing film of all time. All right? The movie is E.T. Atari, the leading video game console at the time. You've heard of Atari. Anyone heard of Atari? Raise your hand. All right. Even some youngins have heard of Atari, right? All right. They're like, it's a terrible disease that we really need to end. Atari. No, Atari is a video game console in the 80s. It was really a big deal. They thought that they needed to cash in on the cultural phenomena by making a video game version of the popular movie. They're like, this movie is making so much money. What if we made a video game and made so much money? And they all high-fived in the meeting room. Atari paid $22 million for the rights to make an E.T. game. This is that game. Appear to be amazed by this awesome gameplay. If you can figure out what's going on, please explain it to me. He needs that thing there. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's a dude. Oh my goodness. They took him to Rome. Oh. Oh. This is amazing. Oh! That might be good. It might be bad. Well, that's the TARDIS in the background. All right. What? This was a speed run of that game. That was all the game has to offer. You just saw it. That was the ending of the game. You have that little figure just walking around a house, walks through the house and walks around the house, walks through the house and walks around the house. That is how the game ends. It just keeps doing that until you turn the game off, you pour gasoline on it, and you light it on fire. It was hard to understand what was going on. Those were holes that they were falling into, and there were pieces of his starship in there, and somehow he was able to phone home, and he had to wait for the ride, and there was an FBI agent and some kind of doctor, and they were doing tests on him. I don't know, really. Y'all got all of that, right? Y'all got that from seeing that, right? The E.T. video game broke records in release sales. Never before had a game released so strongly. Whoa, we are in the money, Atari thought. When E.T. hit the stores, people recognized it by name, and they bought it up. I gotta get, my kid loves E.T. I gotta get my kid this E.T. video game. All right? But this only happened for them to take it home, take the game out, put it in the console, and then realize, this is a terrible game. Yeah. And to get this for my kid is really child abuse. Many of the people who bought the game brought it right back, and they were furious. A guy named Howard Scott Warshaw is the maker of this game. I'm sorry, Howard. He was approached by his bosses at Atari to make the game. Now get this. They gave him 5 weeks to make the video game. So don't be too hard on Howard. Oh, Howard, I feel you, man. Here's the deal. They bought it for $22 million, but they didn't have foresight. They're like, knee-jerk reaction to the market of everyone buying a ticket to go see E.T. So now they're like, hey, can you pump out a video game? Five weeks is all you get. The bosses, this is what Warshaw said. This is a quote from him. The bosses believe that as long as we put anything out the door with E.T.'s name on it, it would sell millions and millions. The E.T. game failed so badly that the company actually tried to bury their problem. This is true. They buried thousands of these unplayable game cartridges in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. They didn't know what to do with it. They can't sell it. So we needed this just to go away. The best thing to do is let's take it to a landfill. And they cemented it into a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Atari would later declare bankruptcy. Atari played the fame game and they lost everything. Can I tell you that content matters? Sure, the fancy name got people to look at that video game, got some people to buy that video game. But because it didn't have content in it, once they got home to play it, they were in serious trouble. The name on the cover received a lot of attention, but it was not enough. When people discovered the content inside was worthless, it brought about the end of a video game empire. A name without content will always end up in the garbage. A name without content, we're talking content of character. We're talking about content of honesty. We're talking about integrity. We're talking about patience and discipline. We're talking about content. If you don't have content in your life, it doesn't matter what your name is, it will end up in the garbage. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
The world we live in is consumed with names. They are consumed with celebrity without giving much thought to the content of character within the person. But the truth is that content matters. A name is not enough. Attention from people is not enough. Being able to drop names of celebrities in conversation will never benefit your life like unshakable character will benefit your life. We need to avoid the fame game. We need to stop playing the fame game. That's the game where we get our value from the attention of other people. I want to tell you about a famous king named Uzziah. Can you say Uzziah? Now, this is a pretty big deal king in the history of Israel, but I would gather that most of us have not heard about Uzziah. So you're going to learn something today. Are you ready? If you have your Bibles with me, turn to 2 Chronicles 26, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to be reading a bunch. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. All right? This young king Uzziah, he was how old?
16.
He was 16. Let me tell you, he was impressive. He was impressive, just learned to drive. Yeah, that's right. He, only 16 years old, becomes king. And 2 Chronicles 26, the rest of this chapter, gives his resume. And let me tell you, it is impressive. Reading verse 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Who gave him success?
God.
All right. There are a lot of kings in Israel that never had this kind of description. He sought God and received success from God. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There are a lot of kings that served inside of Israel, but very few of them had such glowing things written about them. Do you want that to be how your life is described? That you seek God and that God gives you success? Is that what you want? Raise your hand real quick all over this house. You, every hand ought to be raised. That ought to be us. Reading on, verse 6, 2 Chronicles 26. He went to war against the Philistines. Oh, wait, is the Philistines a big deal? Yeah. Did some previous kings have trouble with the Philistines? Absolutely. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He went against their largest cities and just ransacked them, broke down their walls. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. Verse 8, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. Now wait, are the Ammonites good guys or bad guys when it comes to the story of Israel? They're bad guys. If it ends in ites, they are the enemy of Israel, all right? There's some Bible scholar wisdom for you. If it ends in ites, they are bad news. The Ammonites, enemies of Israel, brought tribute to Uzziah. What is tribute? Somebody say, what's tribute?
Bribery.
What? Bribery. Money.
Money.
Treasure. Money. Right? They brought money, cash money to him. They brought gold. They brought jewels to him. And what does it say? And his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness. It wasn't enough for him to build towers in the city along the wall. He went out into the wilderness where all the farming was, where all the livestock was, and says, we need fortification here. We need to be able to beat the enemy here. He builds towers there and dug many cisterns. It's like a well. Because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain, he had people working his field and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands that he loved the soil. Verse 11, Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jeiel, the secretary of Maaseiah, and the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. Keep in reading. Verse 13, under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Verse 14, Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows and slingshots for the entire army. I want to remind you that there was a time in Israel's history, in the time of King Saul, where Israel only had two weapons among the entire army. There were two swords among the entire army. Now he is providing every one of his troops, all under 300,000 plus of them, providing them shields, spears, helmets, providing them to be the best force on earth. Yeah. Verse 15, in Jerusalem, he made devices. Invented. The dude's an inventor. It's like, what can't this dude do? He invents things for use on the towers and on the corner defenses so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. He built catapults. He built large arrow shooting devices bigger than just a bow and arrow. This dude was amazing. This dude had success. Can you tell me this? Do you agree with this word? Success matters.
Yeah, success matters.
And if you're giving pause to that, it's not a trick question, I promise. Uzziah had it going on. He had success. And you want success too in life, don't you? He had more than just a name. He had a track record of success. That's some content right there. He had success. He built things. He grew an army. He invented weaponry. He invested in his army and in his vineyards. By every definition of a king, Uzziah was a success. Uzziah was famous. His enemies knew about him and even paid tribute to him. If you were going to make a list of successful kings who ruled in Israel, Uzziah would be near the top. Personally, I think I would put him as number three, behind only David and Solomon as a successful king when it comes to these numbers that we're talking about.
That's good.
I want to tell you, success matters.
Amen.
But also, I want to remind you that content matters. They both matter. I want to remind you that content matters. And to this point in Uzziah's story, he seems to have a lot of good content in his character. Scripture says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Scripture said he was trained in the fear of the Lord. He was trained in the knowledge of what the Word of God says, and he tried to live by it.
That's good.
But I have some bad news. Success can bring pride. And pride brings destruction. Well, you notice how this is reading. Success doesn't necessarily bring pride. Success can bring pride. But pride definitely brings destruction. That's scripture. That's how it works in scripture. We all want success. God wants you to be successful. You believe that? You are seeking to be successful. All our students going back to school, you should be aiming for success. You should be trying to get the best grades possible. When you are doing athletics or doing some academics or whatever it is that you're aiming for. Aim to be the best at whatever you're doing. Aim for success. You on your job, you should be aiming for success. You should be aiming for a promotion. You should be aiming to be your boss's favorite person, not through brown nosing, but through a track record, through that you are successful, that you are trustworthy, that you are just plain awesome. And you ought to have success in your life. You want success. Success is not a bad thing, but success can be the worst thing for some people. Have you ever seen somebody that they had some success and it turned out to be a bad thing for them? People who lack content of character don't handle success very well. 2 Chronicles 26:15. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. The next verse. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. The word pride doesn't show up anywhere in this chapter until after all of his success. All of his success happens. All of his fame happens. All the tributes happen. All the amazing, skillful things. All the things that are amazing and successful about him. After we've mentioned all of that, then we talk about pride. I want to tell you that success can bring pride. And pride, it brings what? Destruction. Uzziah became powerful. He experienced a lot of success, but he became prideful. Uzziah, he played the fame game. He played the fame game. He started defining his value by something other than his relationship with God. He started to look at his success. He started to look at how the Ammonites quaked in fear about him. He started to realize how powerful he was. And after that, pride started to come. He started defining his value by his success, by his bank account, by the attention of others. I want you to say it with me. Success can bring pride. And pride brings destruction. Uzziah had more fame than the content of his character could support. He had more fame than the content. His name was bigger than the content inside. Kind of like that E.T. game. That name was, whoa, E.T. But the content was lame, terrible. My gosh. That was Uzziah. He developed this great name that grew larger than the content of his character. Some people appear to have good content of character, but then a little bit of success reveals that they have a content problem. Some people have enough content of character for this lower level of success. But when they are lifted up to another level of success, their content hasn't necessarily grown to support that new power and that new authority. You see this all the time on the job. Say, yuh-huh, if I'm right about working in a job, you've seen it. You've seen people get a promotion. You see they have a little power and authority, and then you start to see them abuse it. Yeah, they have a leadership responsibility. They're a leader, but all they do is blame others. I never noticed that about them before. Yeah, it comes with the new role and the new power and the new fame. You may see them suddenly be dishonest. You may see them become arrogant. You may see them become disloyal. You've seen all those things. I'm sure you have. I'm convinced that some people can't handle a blessing. You listen to me real quick. This is important. We're not talking about Marshall blessing, although no one can handle that. I'm convinced that some people can't handle a blessing. You're praying for a blessing in your life. That's awesome. Do it. God gives blessings. But I want to tell you, some people, God won't give them the blessing because they can't handle it. You can't handle the blessing. Can God trust you with a blessing? You've seen some people, the worst thing in the world was that they won the lottery.
Yes.
Yeah, sad stories, end up committing suicide. Some of them end up in bankruptcy, having won the lottery, $1 million in their lap. Suddenly, it's all gone, and so is everyone. All their relationships are destroyed. Can God trust you with the $1 million? I want to tell you something. God does want to give us money. He wants to bless us like that. God wants to bless you with a new job. God wants to bless you with a promotion. God wants to bless you with the new car. He wants to bless you with the home. He wants to bless you. That thing that you're praying for, God's never like, nah, I never cared enough for Brentley to give him that. God is not that way. He's like, Brentley's my beloved son. I want to give him everything. But the question is, can he trust you with the blessing that he gives you? And if we're all honest, there have been times God has blessed us, but we weren't trustworthy with his blessing. I want to tell you the key to living a blessed life is being trustworthy with the blessing.
All right.
I tell you what, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. I'm just going to break this down. It's not in my notes, but it's true. All right, guy works, so he's got a decent job. He's got a decent job, and he reaches into his wallet, and he gives generously. He's like, $20 right there, $20 to the Lord, $20 to that guy over there on the street corner, $20 to the church, $20, youth ministry needs something, here's $20. You know what, here's another 10. They give at that level. They are able to give at that level. And then I've seen this happen. They get a promotion. And they're like, oh man, thank you, Lord, for more money. That's so awesome. $20, $10, $20, $10. There have been people that have won the lottery. They have $100,000 land in their lap, $1 million land in their lap, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. $20, $10, $20, $10. What is going on there? The content of their character can't give past $20, but the blessing is way past $20 now. Let me tell you, you're going to be judged by greed. You're going to be judged by not giving more. When God gives to you, you should give even more. How many know that when God gives you a raise, you should give more to him than you ever have? I'm not telling you to give everything, but I'm telling you, if he's giving you more, then you ought to give more to the world around you. Amen? Does that make sense? Man, that's a content of character issue. There, some people draw this line as, no, it would be crazy to give $100. That would be crazy. The Lord just gave you what? He gave you what? And you won't give him? Forget about money. He saved your what? Your soul? He saved your marriage? He saved your children? He healed your body? And you're going to quibble over money?
There it is.
Moving on. God, you are the source of my blessing.
Amen.
Can you say that sentence with me?
God, you are the source of my blessing.
Can you receive the blessing without falling into the pride that foolishly believes you are the source of your own blessing? The truth is, God is the source of our blessing. I am not the source of my blessing. Sure, I work hard. Sure, I study hard. Kids study, absolutely study. But can I tell you, you are not the source of your blessing. God is the source of blessing. What does it say? It says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. It comes from above. Uzziah's pride, I want to come back to Uzziah. Uzziah's pride ignored all barriers. Now, this is tricky. Because all successful people ignore barriers of impossibilities, right? Someone says, you can't do that. It can't be done. And the person says, successful people have this way of saying, oh yeah, watch me do it. I'm going to do it. And then they go and do it. This is basically what successful people do. But you need to know that there are some barriers you shouldn't mess with. And God gives us some barriers. Not because he's on an ego trip or a power trip. He gives us some barriers to protect us. Do you understand me?
All right.
Second Chronicles 26 and 16. Look at what Uzziah does. He ignores all barriers because of pride. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Some of you are like, what's the big deal? He went to church. Isn't that good? No, we're going to describe it to you. Let's look at the temple. Look up at your screen. Here is a temple layout. If you're watching, if you're listening to this online, go Google temple layout. We need this picture up as soon as possible. There are six specific furniture pieces in the temple. The first one is the brazen altar. That's where the lamb is slain. That's where the blood is brought into the whole situation. The laver is where the priest washes. Then there is a curtain. And past that is a new room. And there are three things in there. The table of showbread, where the priest receives sustenance from God's word. The altar of incense, it's an act of obedient worship. And then the candlestick, that is a source of light. And then there is another curtain, and there is another room. That's the last room. And in that room is the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the very presence of God. So God put barriers in his temple to protect the people. Let's point out these barriers right here. There was the outer court, and any man could go into the outer court. You could go to the brazen altar, and you could be near the laver. This is called the outer court. Everyone said the outer court. All right. But there was also a room beyond that, and it was called the holy place. Everyone said holy place. It's behind this new curtain. It's inside a room. And only priests could enter the holy place. The holy place. Who could go into the holy place? Priests could go into the holy place. Beyond the holy place is another curtain. It's a referred to as a veil. And that room is called what? It's called the Holy of Holies, right? And inside there is a golden box called the Ark of the Covenant. And if anybody touches that, what happens to them? They die. And who can go in there? Not just any old priest, but only the one high priest. And they can do it only one time a year. So review. There's an outer court. People are welcome here. But then you have a holy place. Only the priest is welcome here. There's a big X on that. You and I couldn't just waltz into the holy place. They had to be consecrated and dedicated to go into the holy place. And then past the veil was the Holy of Holies. And this was rarefied air to be able to go into that place. In fact, it was dangerous to go past the barriers of where you were not supposed to go. Everybody has to deal with barriers. Everybody has to deal with barriers. I want to tell you that this situation right here is serious. It's not just serious as in you die. It's serious in God's eternal salvational plan. Because this plan right here reveals Jesus Christ. This temple and the furniture inside of it and outside of it reveal Jesus Christ symbolically. All the furniture, if you notice, is laid out in the shape of the cross. Show them that real quick. It is laid out in the shape of a cross. Everything about this reveals who Jesus is. God placed these barriers to protect people. But prideful Uzziah ignored the barriers and entered into the holy place. And he walks right up to what altar? The altar of incense. He walks up to that. And he, who is a king, King Uzziah, attempted to do the work that only a priest could do. Let's read about it. Verse 17. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him. Verse 18. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Verse 19. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. He was going to do it anyway. He was angry. How dare you tell me that I can't do something? Don't you know what I've accomplished? Do I need to show you all the orchards? Do I need to show you all the vineyards? Do I need to show you all the towers? Do I need to show you my massive army? Do I need to show you these things? Do I need to show you the things that I invented? I'm the king of Israel. Don't you understand who I am is the attitude that was in this once humble king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Reading on, verse 19. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. It's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. What happened here? The fame game happened here. Uzziah, who earlier did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, was now attempting to do everything wrong in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the priest. He didn't care who saw him. He was going to completely defy the word of God. He was taught the fear of the Lord, but now he is defying God. Success brought him fame, but it also brought him pride. And pride always leads to destruction. Proverbs 16 and 18 tells us that pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Man, he was destroyed on this day. He went right into a fall on this day. In his pride, Uzziah thought he had the right to ignore the barrier that was in front of him. Uzziah thought because he was the king, he could also be the priest. Now, I want you to learn a little bit here. There was another king who tried to offer something as the role of a priest. Does anybody remember who that was? It was King Saul, and he got into serious trouble with it and was rejected by it. This king is doing the same thing. They've made the same mistake in his reign. And here's the mistake. Here it is. There is only one king priest, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Scripture tells us about a one who is both king and priest, and there's no one else like him. Yes. There is one king who is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God forever. But he's not only just a king, he's also our high priest forever, who makes intercession for us. Do you get the picture that Jesus is the only one who can sit on the throne of God, but also walk into the outer court, walk into the holy place, walk into the holy of holies, and sprinkle blood on the altar for your forgiveness? Uzziah, you can't do that. I don't care how successful you are. That's the role that only Jesus can play. That's the role only he can play. Jesus is the only one that is king and priest. I don't care what your resume says. You need Jesus to be your king and priest. You can't be the king if he's the king. You can't be the high priest if he's the high priest. You need to move over. What was that John the Baptist so successful, so memorably said? He said, I must decrease so that he might increase. I tell you what, the fame game's like, no, I need to grow. No, I need to be bigger. No, I need to be equal to or better than everyone else. It does not work that way. Uzziah, you weren't the true king of Israel. The Lord Jesus is the true king of Israel. And Uzziah, you are not the true priest of Israel. Jesus Christ is the true priest of Israel. The only one that can walk into that place. Amen. What's so amazing about Jesus, he walks into that place and he bears our sin. He bears our sickness. He bears our leprosy if you will let him. But if you try to walk into that place, good luck to you, because you can't bear the sin of others. You can't bear the sickness of others. You can't bear the depression of others, the hatred of others. You can't take that on yourself. Only one can take that from you. His name is Jesus. Clap your hands, because that is the gospel truth right there. I want to tell you that the fame game is a con job. It is an absolute trickery thing. It is robbery. It is sneaking into your life and stealing what's best for you. Making you think that it's going to be this way, but it absolutely is the opposite. It's a con job that will tell you that you are the cause of your own success. I had a friend in high school. I won't name them because I'm going to call them a nerd. This person was an incredibly big nerd. This person had very little friends. I was their friend, singular. I was their friend. And Robert, I witnessed to them and I shared Jesus with them. And they came to church with me in high school. And God filled them, washed away all their sins, filled them with His Holy Spirit. And you know what? That transformed their life. And suddenly they walked into class and everybody noticed there was something different about Dweeb. There was something different about Dorcas over here. And I guarantee you, this person went from having no friends to it was like people were drawn to him. And he made the mistake of thinking, wow, I'm really coming into my own here. Look what I'm doing. I must tell really good jokes and I must be really good looking because people are drawn to me. You see the mistake? What's the mistake? Somebody tell me the mistake. It was the fame game. It was God that was doing those things. What does the Bible says? It says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So guess what? If I'm lifting up Jesus there, people are going to walk up where? They're going to walk up right here. And this person, they spent some time falling away from God, pursuing their lust, pursuing things that were untrue, pursuing the fame game. And it wasn't until their life fell back down completely to nothing, so where he only had one friend again, they came back and he understood it. I want to tell you, the fame game is a con job that will tell you that you are the cause of your success. You listen to me, young people. You will have people drawn to you in school, and it's not because you're the best dressed person in school. It's not because you're the smartest in school. It's not because you're the best looking in school or the most athletic. People are going to be drawn to you because the Lord Jesus Christ draws all people to Him, and He is living in you. You're going to have favor with people that's not you and not your daddy or your mama. It is God inside of you. You're going to have success that you didn't cause, that you didn't build. The Bible tells us, it tells the Israelites that you are going to come into the promised land and you're going to receive vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to receive houses that you didn't build. You're going to receive walled cities that you didn't construct. Don't you think for a moment that you did this, Israel. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 26, verse 21. This is the ending story of King Uzziah. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the land, the people of the land. So get this, from this moment of pride in the temple, he no longer lived in the palace. He no longer visited the temple. He was no longer king. He was discarded like an ET Atari cartridge. He was a name without content. Can we talk about our content today? We're going to be drawn to a close very soon. Are we more concerned about what people think about us than what is on the inside of us? Are we playing the fame game and have we fallen prey to the con job that suggests that we are the cause of our own success? You may have success, but you have had help along the way. Is that fair to say? you've had some help along the way. And you may have success, but you better know that it is the Lord that is a blessing to you. I want our musician to come. Amen. When we pray today, and we're going to pray, we don't just come to church without talking to God, guys. We are going to talk to the Lord. You online, you stick with us. We're going to talk to the Lord in a moment. When we come to pray today, we need to talk to God about our content. Maybe you don't pray for success today, but you pray about the content in your heart. Integrity beats the fame game. I'm going to give you four things that beat the fame game. Integrity beats the fame game. Integrity means that you are the same in all conditions. What if we were just as sweet and wonderful at the bottom rung of the ladder to success? And we're just as sweet and wonderful at the top rung when we are CEO of the large company. That'll beat the fame game, integrity. That you treat the person on the street the same way you do, the same way you treat the Wall Street person. I want to tell you second, humility beats the fame game. Pride leads to destruction, but the Bible tells us that God honors and blesses humble spirit. Be humble in your success. Be humble. You don't need validation from people. God validates you. God's success building around you is all the validation you need. That he loves you enough to do that. That's all the validation you need. Integrity beats it. Humility beats it. Thankfulness beats the fame game. Uzziah, though he thought he earned everything he had, what if he would have been thankful instead of prideful? What if he would have been so thankful that he never made it past the altar, the brazen altar? See, that's the altar he was allowed to go to. What if he just stayed there and bawled his eyes out and was so thankful that all of his sins were washed away and that he was allowed to lead the people of Israel? You see, if he was thankful to the Lord, you can't say thank you and be prideful. Not really. It'll tear down your false pride. Integrity, humility, thankfulness, last, worship beats the fame game. You see, what is the fame game? It is getting value from the attention of others, and you're looking for the attention of others. But worship, it's when you look to the Lord and you declare that he's famous. You declare that that's the name that's great, and that's the content that's really true, and that's the success. It's him. Be quick to give all glory to God. Hashtag AG2G. Be quick to give all glory to God. Worship makes God famous. Worship lifts up his name. Worshiping the true source of our success, God. I want to invite you today to defeat that blame game. Why don't you take some time praying about integrity, humility, thankfulness, and worship. These altars are open. If you want special prayer, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. We believe God is going to minister to you. Why don't you come right now? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this room and everybody that's online. God, Lord, I pray for them right now. Lord, let us defeat pride. Let us defeat this fame game, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, we have your attention. We have the attention of our God in heaven, and we reach out to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we want you to touch every person that's in this room right now. Lord, we want you to bless their hearts. Lord, out there in the internet, God, Lord, touch their hearts right now, God. Lord, right where they are, Lord, that they would start being thankful, that they would start having integrity and humility, and that they would be filled with worship to the Lord in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you are our king and you are our high priest. We are not the king. You are the king. We are not the high priest. You are the high priest. You are the Lord, and we look to you right now. We need you in every situation. Lord, right now we need you. Come and be in our hearts. Come on, let's pray. I want to see some people in this altar reaching out to God. I want to pray with some people in this altar and see miracles happen in their life. Come on. Redemption.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.